Well, this is a New Year's Eve, wow, New Year's Eve day. And that makes it a special, kind of a special day. So tomorrow will be 2018. Is it too buggy?
Yeah, I'll fix it.
Okay.
Yeah, but here, can you use this the service?
Yeah. All right. Maybe that's better. So yeah, 2018, usually I get to about April before I start remembering to write that on my checks. I put down 2017 for 3 or 4 months. You're probably like me too. But yeah, I was wondering why Pastor Ryan asked me to speak on New Year's Eve Day. And I thought, now why would he do that? And then I figured it out. It's probably because he thinks I'm as old as Father Time. And that's why he got me up here today. So, but I'm glad to be here, glad to be still here. So, but tell me, when you think of New Year's Eve, what are some of the things, or New Year's Day, what are some of the things that come to mind? Just shout them out. New Year's Day?
Hmm?
Fresh?
Football?
Resolutions, yeah. How about the ball dropping? Yeah, the ball. So many places do that now. You know, I think media even has a ball drop down a flagpole or something. It's like just something that's caught on, and a lot of that goes on. How about the Mummers? You know, I understand the Mummers might be canceled this year because it's so cold, they said, and the horns can't play as well. So maybe we won't have the Mummers tomorrow. But resolutions, absolutely. Resolutions can be a good thing. A resolution is a determination of your will to do something, to accomplish something. And, you know, every year people make resolutions. I think I read that something like 45, 50% of people actually make resolutions. What's the number one resolution people make every year? Lose weight, absolutely. Lose weight, number one. Number two, followed closely, number two, followed by number one, stop smoking. Stop smoking, you know, get rid of the weed before the weed gets rid of you, you know. So people make that resolution also. And most resolutions that people make are physical. They had to do with their physical bodies. And as Christians, we should consider spiritual revolutions. Resolutions, about the same thing. resolutions that have to do with our spirit that will make us more like Jesus, they would be good resolutions to make. So resolutions that will grow our spirit man. So I have a resolution for you to consider today, and Ryan's been praying about it already in different ways, and that's this. Why not decide in 2018 that you are going to come closer to Jesus Christ than you ever have in your life before? Okay? That's a good resolution. Why not decide in 2018 that you're going to pursue a deeper relationship with Jesus than you've ever had in your life? You're going to just apply your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength to seeking the Lord and getting deeper and closer with Him. I noted that Pastor Ryan's been talking about this really the last couple of weeks. He said that the greatest need we have in our lives is the presence of God in our lives, and that we can increase in awareness of His presence if we seek His presence with, you know, to a greater degree, with more intensity. So let me tell you that this is a resolution that God is all for. He is 100% behind this resolution, right? And, you know, He loves it when we seek Him and encourage ourselves to grow deeper in Him. So here I have some scriptures. I guess we got them up there. God's invitation to us, and just a few scriptures that, you know, focus on this. Jeremiah 29:13-14. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me will find me. 1 Chronicles 20:19. Now devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. You know, this seeking of the Lord, it's not a one-time thing. It's like, oh, yeah, I did that. I accepted Jesus. It's an ongoing, ever-deepening thing. We're to continually to seek the Lord at deeper and deeper levels. And, of course, James 4:8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Just wonderful promises. You know, our loving Heavenly Father desires his people to come closer to him and closer and closer and closer. All right. So I do hope this is something that is dear to your heart and something that you'll consider today as far as making it a resolution. So we think about, how can we make this happen? You know, how can you deepen your relationship with the Lord? And the answer is really a simple one. If you ask this question, how do you encourage any relationship with anyone to grow? Who can tell me? What if you want to grow a relationship with someone, what do you need to do? Talk with them? Yeah, okay. I think another way of saying that is you have to spend time with them. You must spend time with them. And the same thing is true of our relationship with the Lord. If we want to deepen our relationship with the Lord, we need to spend time with him. We must spend time with him. And, you know, and if you desire to grow deeper with him, you know, that's what you'll do. So I guess we can ask a few questions. How much time? You know, how much time should we put aside to spend with the Lord in, you know, what we call the Christian disciplines? And that really depends on how much you want to grow, how close you want to grow to him. You know, it's we can have as much of God as we want in our lives, and it's only limited by, you know, the amount of time, the desire we have to spend time with him. All right. And where should you spend time with Jesus? You know, in what locale? Well, the Bible, it makes that pretty clear too. We read over and over again that Jesus, when he wanted to get close to his Father, it said Jesus would go off to a lonely place and he would spend time with his Father. He would go somewhere up in the mountains and just sit there and talk with Father God in this lonely place where he would be undistracted and unbothered, and, you know, the world wouldn't crash in on him. So, you know, that's that lonely place thing. Of course, Jesus himself, he tells us in Matthew 6:6, one of my favorite scriptures, because it's so directive. This is Jesus really getting in our lives here. He says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Okay? So we have an idea about where we should go. We need to go alone to be with Jesus, to that quiet place. The best way to grow our relationship with Jesus is to spend time alone with him in a quiet place. Okay? And every believer must have that quiet place to go to. When you think of your home now, I'm sure you have a quiet place that you can go to where we can daily spend time before God in worship and in praise and in prayer. You know, that place in his presence, I believe, is the well from which everything else springs in the Christian life. That's been my experience over the years as I've deepened that. That is home base. That's the place. It's where you plant the seeds that, you know, the Lord will bring to harvest in future time. It's just such a special place and such an important place. So then we could ask, you know, what will you do when you go into your room and close the door and come before the Lord? Well, of course, you'll pray. And I have some suggestions here today. Here's five different things that can be done in the prayer closet. And we have, you can pray for yourself. Of course, we should always do that. You can pray for others. You can pray God's word. You can sing and worship. And you can just sit and rest before the Lord. These are different things that you know, the believer can do. And I want to say a little bit about each one of these today. I'm not going to be too long because I know some of you want to go home and rest up so you can get up at midnight tonight and go outside and shoot off some fireworks or bang some pots and pans or things like that, whatever. I'll be asleep myself, but just don't bang too loud or you'll wake me up. One year, my kids wanted to do that. These people up the street, they would always go out at midnight and bang pots and pans. And my kids like, can we do that this year? Can we do that? Yeah, well, all right. So they grabbed the pots and pans. And now, we had very cheap cookware back then. And it created problems because, you know, we had some good memories of that year because all the pots were dented and banged up after that. But anyway, they had fun. So, but first of all, pray for yourself. Of course, we should pray for ourselves each day, asking our Father to meet our daily needs. You know, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, give us this day our daily bread. Pray that way. Give us this day our daily bread. And what Jesus meant by that was, you know, bring your needs before your Father in heaven. You know, pray about what you need. You know, we all have needs that God will meet if we ask him. Health needs, financial needs, emotional needs, relational needs. We all have things that we need to bring before the Lord. And, you know, do you ever get into something and you're doing it and you're working on it, it's not going very well, and you say, can I pray about this? No, I forgot. You know? No wonder it's not going so well. So it's good to pray for our own needs. I had to tell you a little story. I had an amazing need that was just met a few weeks ago. And the stories, I've had different needs met different ways over the years, but this is one of the most remarkable ways I ever had a need met. A few years ago, actually 10 or 15 years ago, I started having a health need. I'm not going to tell you what it was, but you can ask me later if you want. And it wasn't easy living with this health need that I had. And I prayed about it, and I found out that there was a surgery available that I could use if I wanted to, but the surgery was rather risky. And for some people it worked, and for some people it didn't work too well. So I said, Lord, should I go ahead with this surgery? I know maybe it'll help me, you know, but I know it's a little risky. I'm not so sure about this. It might be worse than just living the way I'm living. And I prayed. I said, Lord, just give me an answer. Give me an answer. About 10 years ago, my nephew, Justin, who lives here in Pennsylvania, was visiting out in California. And he was on a beach in California. Just walking, I don't know what beach it was, and this young girl came up to him and said, excuse me, sir, I know this is going to sound kind of strange, but I sometimes believe I hear things from God, and he wants me to tell somebody. And my nephew's looking at this young girl like, okay, yeah, so? He says, well, what do you want to tell me? And she says, well, do you know anybody named Greg or Gregory? This is 3,000 miles away in California. My prayer's getting answered. And she says, yeah, that's my Uncle Greg back in Pennsylvania. And she says, well, I believe you're supposed to tell your Uncle Greg, that he should not rush into anything, that he should not make any quick decisions, right? So Justin calls me up on the phone and says, Uncle Greg, I don't know what this is all about, because he didn't know what I was going through. And he said, but this girl I met, this is what she said. And I said, Justin, that's called a word of knowledge. And I said, you know, she had a word of knowledge for me, and I accept that. So I put off that surgery. I said, you know, I just cannot go ahead with it. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited. And about 2 or 3 years ago, some incredible doctors invented this whole new technology to deal with this issue that I was going through. And then I got confirmation after confirmation after confirmation that I should go ahead with this new surgery, this new procedure, and I did about a month ago or so. And it's worked out very well. So far, it's worked out very well. So, you know, pray for your personal needs and wait on the Lord, because he will answer. Now, I don't know why I had to wait that long, but God knew, and I certainly grew closer to him during that time, which is really what it's all about. So do you see how praying like this, praying for yourself, it can draw you closer to the Lord? It will draw you more into his presence. We should pray for others. We should always pray for others. We should pray for others, number one, because God commands it. God says, pray for others. It's all through the Word that we're to pray for other people and their needs. And the Word says that if you God says that if you love me, you will obey me. So when we pray for other people, that's a sign of our love for God, that we're loving him when we pray for others. And it's also a sign of our love for those people we're praying for. When I pray for individuals in the church who are going through things or whatever, you're really loving them when you do that. You're loving them in the best way possible when you're praying for them. You're asking, God the Father to move on their behalf. And that's a real sign of love. So think of that when you pray for others, that you're loving them. You're really giving your love to them. We pray for people's personal needs and, their health and things like that. But there's other things we can pray for too. We can pray for others that they'll have the fullness of God's joy. We can pray for others that the Lord will keep them from temptation, that he will grow them in holiness. We can pray for others that, they'll be kept from temptation. And certainly we should pray for others in our families and our neighborhoods that don't know the Lord. We should pray for their salvation. Just keep bringing them before the Lord for their salvation. So pray for others. Another thing we can do is pray God's word. Pray God's word. And this may be new to you, but there's a way of using the Bible, and it's a very powerful way to pray. It's called praying God's word. It's a very valuable way to pray because when you pray this way, you know you're praying in God's will because you're using his word to pray, all right? And it's a really a neat way to pray. I'll give you an example of how you might do that. I like to use the Psalms, and if you want to go through the Psalms, I like to start with Psalm 1, Psalm 5, Psalm 10, Psalm 15, and you obviously can't do all these things all the time. That's why it's good to let the Holy Spirit lead you. But this is an example of Psalm 143. I'm trying to get my glasses out. They fix my eyes, but they still have some issues. So, Psalm 143, a way to pray a psalm is you say, Holy Spirit, lead me today as I pray. And, you might begin. Lord, hear my prayer. Lord, I just thank you that you hear my prayers, that your ear is always open to me, that whatever I pray, you hear it. I thank you, Lord, for my salvation, that I have a relationship with my Father in heaven. And Lord, I'm just so grateful that you hear my prayer. You always do. See, you might start like something like this. So that you're letting what's in God's word direct your prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. I thank you, Lord, that you are a merciful God. You are filled with mercy. And then, people might come to mind. Like I say, one of my sons is starting a new job next week. Lord, I just ask that you'll show him mercy in his new job. I pray that you'll build good relationships with him among the new people he's going to meet in that job. And my other son, Lord, I just pray that he'll get more work. He gets good work some days, and some days his work kind of dries up. Lord, send him more work. Lord, send him more work. You're merciful, Father. Bring your mercy, upon my children. And you just go on like that, praying, in that way, praying God's word. It's a neat way to pray. What's really neat about it, you can take that psalm down. I have another psalm I found the other day. And we're not going to see the scripture up there. But this is Psalm 58. I came to Psalm 58. And the neat thing about praying this way is you will pray for things you never would ordinarily pray for, probably, or not too often, because you'll just come upon something. So Psalm 58 begins like this. Do you rulers indeed speak justly? Do you judge uprightly among men? No, in your heart you devise injustice, and your hands mete out violence on the earth. I started praying that psalm, and I thought, I'm going to pray for the Supreme Court. So I started praying for the Supreme Court. Lord, reach those judges on the Supreme Court that don't value life, that don't see life as sacred, that don't see unborn children as your creation. Lord, reach those judges. Change their hearts. Change their mind. Show them that all life is sacred. Yeah. So this led me into praying for our Supreme Court. And then I'll say that I had it. And Lord, if you know their minds are not going to change, remove them from the Supreme Court. Right? Because all life is sacred. And all life is created by our Father in heaven. So that's just gives you a quick idea about how to pray God's word. And you may want to, you know, pick up on that and try it. Another thing we can do when we get alone with the Lord is sing and worship. And this is a wonderful, wonderful thing to do, you know. We don't just have to worship the Lord on Sunday. Psalm 145, do we have that? Did we get that up there? Okay, good job. Psalm 145 says, I will praise and exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. So it's good to praise God. You just don't have to praise the Lord on Sunday. You just don't have to sing to him on Sunday. I used to think about that. I come to church on Sunday, and I worship God on Sunday, and the rest of the week I don't. Something doesn't seem right about that, because praise is powerful. It is extremely powerful, and nothing connects us with the presence of God like praising him. So, you know, what I've done over the years is I've just developed a couple folders. I have a folder that has some hymns in it. I hope is this too practical for you? Okay? All right? I like being practical. I was an old teacher, you know, you had to be practical. The kids didn't know what you're talking about. So I have a folder which I keep hymns in. It's really easy to get them. You just go online, you look up something like Holy, 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 or Blessed Assurance. It's right there. You copy it, paste it, you print it out, and you have the hymn. I have another folder that has contemporary songs in it. And, you know, I'll just take a song and get alone with the Lord and Revelation song. Worthy is the Lord who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Now you know why I don't sing up there. But God likes my voice. See, he loves my voice and he loves your voice. He wants to hear your voice better than anybody else's voice. Help me out a little. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Now, do you know the power of that? When you are alone with the Lord, believe me, it releases power, real power into your life and into this world. What do the scriptures say? That God inhabits the praises of his people. And if it takes praise for God to inhabit my presence and me to be present with him, I'm all for it. I will praise him. I will praise him. But Linda and I have really developed this, I guess, over the last year or so more and more, and it is a great addition to our devotional time, to our prayer life. All right. So, number five, the last one, finally, just sitting and resting before the Lord. Sitting and resting before the Lord. You know, we all know that life can be very stressful, and we can get so busy and just so just worn out. Life will wear you down, you know, and stress is not a good thing. Stress is a killer. Too much stress is not good for you or for your body or anything. And God has a great solution for stress. I think it's the world's best de-stressor. And what you do is you just go and sit quietly before the Lord. You come into his presence and you say, Lord, here I am, here I am. I acknowledge that you're here with me, you're everywhere, and I'm just going to sit and rest in your presence. And it's not a Bible study time. It's not a time when you're bringing a lot of petitions to God. It's just you're sitting and resting in his presence. And if you've never tried this, try it. Because you will feel your soul renewed. You will walk away from that place like, wow, I feel better. The anxiety will wash off you. The stress will wash off you. It's just sitting in God's presence. Yeah. So Yeah, just in silence, just before him. So there are some suggestions I have to drawing closer to the Lord, you know, just being still and knowing that he is God. And, you know, there's other ways, of course, to draw close to the Lord, too. But I think there's some pretty good ones there, okay? And I hope you'll consider picking up on some of them. So, you know, ways that we can experience the presence of God in our lives and come closer to him and hear his voice better. And, you know, when you do that, when you set a time to go aside and have that devotional time each day, there's a great spillover into the rest of your life. Like, I'll be alone with the Lord and, you know, and I know we all have different amount of times. I'm retired. I certainly have more time than you do. But we all need to find some time to spend alone with the Lord. And I do that, and then, you know, a day later or something, oh, something will happen or something really good will happen. I'll say, oh, that's right, I prayed about that or whatever. So there's a spillover into the rest of your life because you're devoting yourself to ministering to God and God alone. And that's a good thing. So, yeah, God bless you. And Happy New Year. And, yeah, why don't we pray? Okay, let's pray. Yeah. Lord, I thank you that your door is always open before us. You invite us to seek you and to come close to you. And, Lord, you just love it when we come into your presence. I know, Jesus, you love it that when we come and just sit with you and put everything else aside. Lord, there's no joy like being in your presence and growing your presence more and more. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us in this new year to draw close to you. You know, help us to make the practical decisions we need to make to, you know, find a place and set aside the time. And if we're already doing that, which we should be, Lord, just to grow in that, to press into you more and more, that we'll find more of you and enjoy more of your presence in this coming year. Amen.